Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, super busy segment here. I mean, really busy. You're going to hear from Dombrowski, Ross Tucker, Sirianni shortly, what he said to us yesterday about AJ, and Rob Thompson, 8 o'clock today. Who's on the roster? Is Aaron Nola your fourth starter? Who's your cleanup hitter? I mean, we got a lot to talk to Topper about. Looking forward to that. Before we get to the calls, I need a rolling here. So the 76ers announced, as Rhea just had in the update, that Jared McCain underwent surgery for the UCL tear in his right thumb. They made this announcement.
I had that surgery.
Okay. And?
Just letting you know.
I appreciate that. And?
Takes a while.
Normally there's an and. A story has to have an and. And it went well.
He just wanted you to know, Joe.
It took a whole off season. I had to bowl with my right hand for
you think
a whole offseason.
You think Jared McCain's out 2-3 months?
Oh, yeah.
You think he's out 4 or 5 months?
Maybe.
Wow.
That's the way they treat injuries, yeah.
So the Sixers say he'll be reevaluated in 4 weeks, and I get tired of that stuff, too. Like, if they know he's going to be out for 4 months, don't give me the reevaluate in 4 weeks. I'm just saying. Like,
reevaluate in 4 weeks means very little.
No, it could mean you're coming back soon.
Just making sure you're
right.
Breathing.
I hate that. If they know he's out 4 months, I hate to give me the 4 week thing. But here's the bigger thing I want to roll in on. The Sixers released this information at 3:48 a.m. I'm not making this up. But there is a big but, okay? Big but. 76ers,
big.
Sixers are in Dubai.
Big old but.
Big old but. Big old but. Sixers are in Dubai.
They're in Dubai?
Yeah.
Yes. So I need, and I don't know the
date. Then that is totally.
Why? So I need a roll.
I'm looking it up. So it's 3:20 in Dubai right now. So that means it's 7 hours ahead, right?
Yeah, it was like last night in Dubai.
Oh, no, 8 hours ahead. So yeah. So it would have been, if it was 3:48, it would have been ahead. It would have been the morning in Dubai.
Morning.
So that does make some sense.
So James, I need a ruling. Is it righteous gripe for me to be annoyed at this? Or you give them grace because it's their time.
No, it's right. Righteous because it's the Sixers. Like,
thank you, James.
You know, it is. Sorry. Like, you have zero benefit of the doubt with me. None.
Dude,
zippity doo-dah.
Because they have tried to slip information.
None of this.
Joel's going to miss a whole season. They announced it on a Friday or Saturday night.
During the Super Bowl, they put out that thing.
Cooper DeGene scores
a touchdown in the Super Bowl. And the thing about Embiid, I'm never going to be the same again. Yeah. That whole, like, piece to cave, the whole like thing. He's never going to be the same.
And James, that was during the Super Bowl game.
It was during the Super Bowl game. They released it when Cooper DeGene scored the touchdown. It came out.
Joe, I never get breaking news alerts as I'm typing updates at 3:48 in the morning. And I'm like, John Johnson goes, you see, Sixer. I go, you mean they just put this out? I'm like, that never happens.
But Dubai, they are in Dubai.
Come on, guys.
I don't know which way you're coming down.
They wanted to let people know immediately, and they felt probably if it lingered, then
Benefit of the doubt tomorrow.
It wasn't immediately because Jared McCain is very online, and I see like Bleacher Report and House of Highlights posting that he's out of surgery because he posted a funny video where he's still, you know, kind of goofed up.
Which makes me think that the Sixers, because he put the video out, were like, oh, we have to do something now.
Yeah, so it was not immediately.
McCain scooped the Sixers.
All right. Okay, all right. All right, by the way, what Sirianni said about A.J. Brown, you're going to hear it coming up surely. Either way, they're an irritating franchise. They are an irritating franchise.
Way to put it. They're so irritating.
All right. Derek and
infuriating is another word.
That too. Derek and Paoli. Hi, Derek.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yo, what's up there?
This A.J. and Jalen thing really got me, like, thinking about it 24 hours a day. Like, I was watching the Super Bowl highlight. they had like a weird interaction then. I don't know whose fault it is, but.
Well, they just don't get it. I mean, listen, Derek, let me just tell you something if you don't know, because it's pretty well known, at least by people in and around the team. They just don't get along very well anymore. So.
Yeah, but why?
I don't know that. I don't know that answer.
That is the question. I've asked people.
And then it's like, why would the Eagles extend them? You know what I'm saying? Like, how? Like, I don't know. I just feel like, do you think that this could be fixed? You know what I'm saying?
Well, they extended him prior to last season. So, sure, you know, we don't know how devolved it got. It seemed like last season with the Brandon Graham stuff, it was like the worst it had gotten. You know, we had heard little stuff, but then it was like one's trying, this and that. So they extended him prior to it getting theoretically getting worse.
And Derek, a couple things complicated. One is AJ is beloved in that locker room. Elliot has gone on record saying he thinks he's the most popular player amongst the teammates. Jalen obviously is the quarterback, so he's the most important player on the team. You know, both have long-term contracts. I remember Ike saying last year that if they had to choose one, they would choose A.J. Brown to keep. And that was a big statement because you're talking about the quarterback, like being the one you don't keep.
I think there's no chance.
At this point, this point, I think there's no chance of that. At this point.
Yeah. Yo, real quick, with the Phillies, though, I was watching the Dodgers game last night. That's a tough draw right there. You don't think,
dude?
I would say so.
As second round series go, it stinks.
Yeah, the two best teams in baseball, I think personally, the two best. Brewers are there too, but you know,
with the Brewers,
that's what I'm saying. The Dodgers and Phillies, two best teams in baseball.
Reuben, they're
round.
Scary. The Dodgers,
Of
course they are, and the Phillies have played them
but
well.
We match up well.
We play well.
It's the regular season, though,
it's different.
We'll see.
Hey, listen, it's going to be tough. You got to beat the best.
You do.
To be the best.
Damn straight.
Yes.
Very simple.
Except for the 08 Phils who got the Rays.
Don't
got
we
the
have
Rays
the best
the
odds
series.
In a lot of places right now to win the World Series?
Yes.
Yes.
So the experts know what they're doing. That's not there for, you know.
Right, but the Dodgers are like almost the same odds.
Yeah, I
mean, it's like they're plus 450 and plus 550. It's like they're
whoever emerges also intimidating.
Of course. I think this is the toughest opponent they'll face.
I agree with that also.
Ruben, don't let him get away with that dig at the 2008.
Yeah, Ruben, I shot that
seriously.
In there. No Red Sox.
I was just the assistant GM, so it's no big deal.
No Red Sox.
No big deal.
No Yankees. Even the Cubbies got clipped in their first series. You didn't have to face
apparently
them.
Apparently, they weren't the best. They lost. Weren't.
You got to win win against the opponent that is presented to you.
So
am
true.
I wrong?
You can do.
Am
all
I
right,
wrong?
Derek, we all can you get can you these John Legend tickets, but you got to give us the most notable curmudgeon.
For me, man, it was Fred Sanford.
Another good answer.
Oh, that is a good answer.
Yes, pro.
That is a good answer. Great. Love it. All right, also love when we get the chance to talk to Nick Sirianni, as we did yesterday. And this was one of those, this is almost like a clear out in basketball, where instead of having, you know, 37 different topics or players touch the ball, it's like, all right, we're really focusing on one thing, just about exclusively. And it was the A.J. Brown thing. We spent about 6 or 7 minutes with Sirianni on A.J. Brown. Let's listen to the various things he said. Boy, first answer, he really goes off. How can I put this? He answers and then chooses to just address what you'd almost think was a whole different question. And then I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Not very good at it.
Hold on a second here. All right, let's listen. Sirianni yesterday with us on A.J. Listen, then we'll take your phone calls. How concerned, Nick, are you about the A.J. Brown situation?
Yeah, not concerned. You know, we all want to get better. We've set a pretty high standard here, and we all want to get better. We all want to enjoy the win when we get it, and we all want to get better from it, right? I think that I'd be more concerned if we were in this locker room and we're like, hey, we're 4-0, and being satisfied. I think you're seeing from the entire team. No, that doesn't mean we don't enjoy the win in the moment, but you're seeing from the entire team that we all want to get better. We all want to raise our standard. And that's the reality of September, October football is you're working your way up to get better, right? There's not like I've seen a lot of teams, you know, peak too early, and our goal is to be playing our best football by the end of the year. That doesn't mean we got to be more consistent as coaches. We got to be more consistent as players, and we have a high level and a high standard for ourselves, and we just want to continue to reach that and work towards that.
So, Nick, I really admire your ability through the last few years to diffuse some situations. I really do. And I think part of it is how you answer questions, you know, in press conferences and interviews. But I will tell you, the not concerned thing, I mean, this is one of the great players in Philly sports. It seemed like he may be alluding to wanting to be out. I think that the heart of it is he's wondering how much longer can I take it, not getting the ball as much as other great receivers in football. Do you think I'm wrong that that's the heart of the matter? And I mean, I think this is a pretty big situation right now.
Yeah, and you're entitled to your opinion, obviously. And, you know, what I see it as a guy that wants to contribute to his football team because he knows he's able to contribute to his football team. And, you know, if we, you know, the things that we know, like, we know that the past 3 years that AJ's been here, we've won a lot of football games. And 1 year he had almost 1,500 yards. 1 year he had 1,400 yards. Last year, you know, missed a couple games and had 1,100 yards. So we know when we're playing our best, you know, he's contributing.
Yeah.
When we're clicking on all cylinders, he's contributing. And that doesn't mean you can't win games and when he's not contributing, but you know, I think that we all know that, you know, to reach the standard that we want to reach, right, it has to be working on, you know, it has to be, you know, in the run game, in the pass game, on defense, on special teams. It needs to be hitting to hit the standard that we want to hit. Now, until it gets to that standard, until, you know, as you build up in it in the season, our job as players is to find ways to win, get better from, you know, what you went through in the game, work our butts off in the week to get better as well, and repeat until you're playing, you know, the type of football that is to your standards. But sure. We're not there yet, and it's early in the year. We're four games through, and you know, our whole focus as an entire team is, you know, how do we get better? How do we get better? How do we get better?
Sure. So the numbers say that AJ had more targets than yards for just the third time in his career in this last game. Mm-hmm. So how do you help him contribute to the team with more involvement moving forward?
Yeah. Again, you and it's no secret. The pass game runs through AJ. It runs through Devontae. It runs through Dallas. Saquon's got a big part of it. And then you got some good contributing factors. Grant Calcaterra's had some plays throughout the season. Jahan Dotson has. You know, Mechie's done a nice job, right? And so you got other pieces there as well. And so, you know, there's a lot of guys there that can and will get the ball. And so, you know, obviously everything that we do, it starts, like our week preparation never starts, or our, you know, when we're watching tape is like, okay, how do we get AJ the ball? How do we get Dallas the ball? How do we get Devontae the ball? That's, you know, I'm not letting any secrets out right there. Like, that's how every, you know, game plan meeting starts.
Sure.
And so that's on our mind. That's why, you know, through the course of the year, I'm always confident that those things play themselves out through the course of the year. We're in a small sample size right now. He hasn't got, you know, the amount of touches that he normally has, but we're in a very small sample size. And, you know, I know how we game plan. I know how, you know, we think through things. I know how important he is. And again, like, it's our job inside this building is to not ride the roller coaster of the outside and be completely focused. If you're focused on other things, if you're focused on too much other stuff, that you're taking a little bit of focus away from what the main goal is, mm-hmm. to get better, win, find ways to win and get better. So, you know, our job is to focus on our process, to focus on, you know, the right things, and attempts to be playing our best football by the end of the year.
Nick, one thing though, on, you know, the outside, does it disappoint you when AJ takes it to the outside? Social media is not the locker room. Social media is the work, and the world can hear my thoughts and know what I'm thinking. Does it disappoint you when he writes what he wrote?
No, no, I don't get disappointed with those types of things. You know, and again, like, it's all about the conversations that you have individually. Like when you don't have communication with somebody, then you're forced to think, man, what could this have meant or what could that meant? That's why we're in constant communication. That's why together is one of our core values. And so you understand things that are going on when maybe people who aren't in constant communication may not.
All right, that was Nick Sirianni yesterday. I mean, we talked for more about other topics, but that was the A.J. Brown thing. And, you know, we'll take your reaction to what you heard from how the coach presented it. I mean, I think it was pretty obvious the first answer, he was looking to, you know, try to deflect and move on. I mean, that was clear. And then, you know, we drilled down more, and then you start getting more information. Look, it's an awkward spot for him. He's got a real star player who is unhappy. How unhappy and where it's all going to go, I don't know if anybody knows. I mean, I guess you know, people in there have a sense of how unhappy, but where the situation goes, I don't know. I don't know if he's on the team next year or not. I think he'll be on the team the rest of this year. You know, obviously, ideally, AJ and Jalen would have a better relationship, and maybe that would make it easier for them to get back on the same page on the field, but, you know, their relationship's not great. Probably makes it harder. It's a complicated situation. I mean, they win without getting him the ball much. They win with leaning on the run often. But he's one of the great receivers in football, and he's very frustrated. All right, for more on all of this, not to mention the other elements of the now 4-0 football team, and, of course, we'll do a lot of baseball this segment as well. As the Phillies are getting ready for the playoffs, congrats to everyone who has tickets. $10 for tickets to that game today. Phillies are going to play an intra-squad game. We'll talk to Rob Thompson about that. Really nice thing the Phillies are doing, having this inter-squad game. It's a $10 donation to their charity, right, James? Is that what it is?
I believe so, yeah.
Phillies Charities, yep. Is that what it is? And you get to go to the ballpark and watch today's intra-squad game, which is awesome. And so Topper will be with us in a half an hour. We're also going to play some audio for you coming up shortly of what Dave Dombrowski said yesterday about the bye, the pros and cons of the bye. But for more on all of it, let's get to Ross Tucker. He joins us every single Wednesday at this time. The Ross Tucker Football Report, CBS announcer, the whole deal. Ross, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm fine. But boy, oh boy, as the world turns, Ross. I mean,
Ross,
holy mackerel.
There's some crazy stuff going on. Like, for example, Gene Stapleton, when All in the Family started, was only 43 years old.
Yeah, I don't know who Gene Stapleton is.
How about Carol O'Connor?
Come on.
You know who Carol O'Connor is?
I don't really know what All in the Family is. I do know that I feel like I should be getting a cut of this Phillies inter-squad game today since this is my idea.
Your idea! Ross, I said it last year. Don't even start with that nonsense.
I said it last
fair,
year.
To be fair, like thousands of fans said it last year.
I said it on hundreds of thousands.
I mean, I had freaking Seltzer and Rhea and Rich y'all telling me don't play any inter-squad games. And I'm
That's not true. I was on your side.
Last year I
was fine with one. You said play every day.
I'm saying play three. Ross, they should be playing three.
That's silly. Don't stop playing baseball.
You play baseball for 6 months and you take a week off.
Isn't this the guy that stopped his Jack Fritz thing like multiple times?
I got injured. I got injured there, tough guy.
Dude, you're lucky that you're not playing hoops against me.
All right.
Oh my God!
I give you basketball. I give you football, but I'm not giving you basketball. You versus me. All right, Ross. The AJ thing. How concerned are you?
Ooh, I would say concerned is not the word I would use. I am annoyed at this point. You know, first of all, I'm so confused as to how you would post something on social media saying, you know, withdraw, don't make a scene, knowing fully well he's making a scene.
Good point.
Really good point.
Very good point.
I'm like, it's like the most hypocritical social post I've ever seen. Look, he's a terrific player and evidently well-liked by the locker room, whatever. I've lost track. Maybe you guys know. But between post-game comments and social posts over the last couple of years, it's got to be more than a handful.
Yeah. Now, I think we're up to about five or six you know, right. situations.
And that
we know about.
Right. And I'm really, forget AJ Brown for a second. I am so over these subtweets or handling situations like this. Can you imagine? Okay, so just so everybody knows, I'm usually on for an hour, okay? Today, you got Rob Thompson coming on at 8, so I'm going to hop off after 30 minutes, which is great, which is fine, right? Do you think I'm going to – what would you guys think if after I got off, I posted, right? Don't ask me to come on if you're not going to keep me for the full hour.
You're right, Rob.
You know what I mean?
That's a perfect analogy. It is good.
I would never do that. I would say to – I would – like, if I really had an issue with it, which I don't,
yeah.
I would either text Seltzer and Joe, or I would talk to you guys later on the phone,
yeah.
Or I'd probably just bring it up right here on air. I'd be like, that's BS. This guy's got to get ready for an inter-squad scrimmage, and you're bumping me? Like, my point is...
I think passive-aggressively you are.
I am so appalled. Like, I am so not a fan of this. And then I'll say this too, okay? The guy makes $33 million a year. They won the Super Bowl last year. They're undefeated... And they just threw him the ball 9 times in a game, mm-hmm. and they only connected on 2 of them. Like, I would do anything to be as unhappy as A.J. Brown right now.
Sure.
Please, God, let me know what it feels like to be this unhappy. I mean, I don't like anything about it, and I don't know how I would handle it. I thought Sirianni did a terrific job with you guys, and I think this is part of – you know, being a manager or NBA coach where you have to deal with star players, and maybe it's just I was a journeyman old lineman 20 years ago and I'm out of the loop, but this is the first time where I guess I would say my level of being annoyed is very high.
Yeah, okay. Makes a lot of sense on a lot of levels. Let's get some calls in here. John, go ahead.
We have major problems up front, and the O-line is letting us down. I mean, we can't we can't run the ball. We can't protect the quarterback, it seems. Is there light at the end of the tunnel here? I mean, we were told the first month of the season we should just suspend our disbelief, and that's what the preseason is now. Is the offensive line miraculously going to be healed and performing at a high level now that we are in October?
Well, so first of all, the O-line definitely not playing as well through the first month of the season as they did the end of last year.
Right.
And that is a problem on Sunday because for whatever reason, maybe it's because they're out in the mountain time zone. I've talked to a bunch of my buddies. Nobody seems to realize the Broncos are really good. Yeah. The Broncos lead the NFL in sacks, quarterback hits, pressures. These guys might not be household names like Zach Allen at D-tackle, Nick Benito off the edge, but they are very good, and this is going to be eye-opening for Eagles fans Sunday at 1. If the Eagles' offensive line is not ready to roll, they're going to find out who these guys are quick, I promise you.
Well, speaking of that game, coming up in 20 minutes, not only Rob Thompson at the top of the hour, but also your chance to win Eagles-Broncos tickets. We give away tickets on Friday at 8 o'clock. We give you a name today. You got to know that name, store that name away. So Friday, when you ask you what name we said Wednesday at 8, you know that name.
Courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
It's a 4-day contest before every Eagles home game, the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 8 o'clock, 4 different names. 8 o'clock's the time to listen. Know the 4 names. You can win the tickets. All right, a lot up ahead. Let's get some calls in here also. Donald right now in Chester. Donald, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How you doing?
Great, Donald.
Well, I want to say this first of all. George Jefferson is my answer. Mm.
Good one. He was a curmudgeon.
Yes, he was.
You're right.
Sure was.
Yeah, George Jefferson. Now, I want to make this quick here. You know that question you asked Sirianni about AJ taking it to the outside? The thing is with me is that when I heard that from Sirianni, I just actually, I'm in the minority with this. I appreciated AJ's tweet. Because I could understand what he was saying. I've been trying to tell this offense for the longest of time that we need to do different things. And you know, you just see the human side of him. No more professionalism. But I'm in the, but that's just for me. The second thing, because I'm not going to be on here long, the second thing is I really can understand AJ's frustration, because I know it's not so much about the targets. It's just how he's being used, and it's just that it was the same route, the same position, and it was funny that Hurts didn't throw any back shoulder passes in this game, because if he could see that, you know, AJ wasn't getting behind the guy. My thing is this. I believe that it's about Hurts doing what he did against the Chiefs and what he does against the Steelers is what AJ is really focusing on and what he's trying to say.
I agree with you. I actually agree with that. Yep.
Yeah, because he always talks about when we are winning like this, it's about is it sustainable? And he knows that it isn't. That defense won us the game against Tampa Bay. If Hurts struggles with zone beaters, if he struggles with that, that's why you have to run the ball so much, and that puts a toll on Saquon. So I'm hoping from this week on out, because the Broncos are not a joke. They are nothing to toy with on defense. So I just hope that they can find other ways. Because say this one thing, B. West was talking to Seth, and he said that Andy Reid would go out of his way to scheme up plays for T.O. to get him open. So, I mean, there's other things that these guys can do.
Listen, Donald, I think, let me tell you something, bud. I think you bring up a ton of good points. I don't think everyone's going to agree on all of them, but I think many people agree on most of them, and I agree. I think, listen, Ross, to what you said about AJ's tweet, I don't fundamentally disagree with you. He should not have done it. But I do think, Ross, that you are shortchanging the human emotion of a player who feels he's being dramatically underutilized. I'm not saying it's the way to handle it, but I can't act like that's not really, really in play.
And listen, you know what's going to happen now, Ross, the next, you know, the first 15, when they install the first 15, there's going to be, five plays where...
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
AJ is the first read, and they will go over these plays in that meeting the night before the game. Everyone knows what's coming. There's no secrets.
Well, guess
they're
what?
They're feeding him the ball.
He better be ready to roll, because the corner that's going to cover him for the Broncos was the defensive player of the year in the league last year.
He's pretty
so this
nice.
This is interesting timing for AJ to do this before he's going to go up against Patrick Surtain. Maybe he did this on purpose. Maybe he wants to show the world that he can beat Patrick Surtain. He's going to probably get his opportunity. You're right. I mean, this happens with other teams around the NFL. It's squeaky wheel game. You ever talk to any fantasy guys out there? Right. As soon as a wide receiver does this, they all make sure that they have that guy on fantasy the next week, because the teams always try to make him happy the next week and give him the ball early, like you said.
All right, let me say this. Coming up on Friday, that would be 2 days from now. That's the day before the Phillies playoffs begin. Big Red October WIP pep rally. It's going to be at Stateside Live. That's what formerly you know of as Xfinity Live, now known as Stateside Live. Our show is going to be at Borgata because, of course, we're at Borgata every Friday. But after our show, Joe and Hugh's show, Spike Ike and Jack's show, their show, both of those programs from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Stateside Live. Hope you can be there. If you can, obviously listen. Should be really great as we crank it up for October baseball. Now, speaking of cranking it up, let's listen to the general. Well, he's not the GM. I always called Dombrowski the GM, but he's what? The executive vice
president of baseball operations.
Ruben.
PBO, dude.
Ruben.
It's a GM.
Thank you for when you were a GM, just being a GM. Just keep it simple for us. Yeah, well, I mean, Howie had his phase.
He didn't get paid as much.
Well,
no, that's why they get presidencies.
That's also why you're here with us right now.
Also the truth.
You know what I mean? All right, let's listen to Dombrowski. So they got the bye. It's a great accomplishment. They had the second best record in baseball. But it does come with, you know, some worry because teams with the bye have been knocked out early in the playoffs in recent years, including the Phillies last year. Listen to Dombrowski yesterday. He had been asked about how much of an advantage it is to have the bye. Here's what he said.
Well, it's an advantage if you win the first series, and it's a disadvantage if you don't. I think it's an advantage in the sense for us. There's probably some guys. I mean, say, for example, a guy like Turner gives a little extra time to get ready. And you can set your rotation up as you want, where you maybe wouldn't have been able to do that. So I think there's advantages, and I think our guys, you know, they played a lot of games, our guys, so I don't think it hurts them to have it. So we'll look at to use it to our advantage. There's a lot of, they're going to start today, a lot of things they're going to do, they'll work on fundamentals, we'll do all the things we need to do. Tomorrow will be kind of a fun day here, but also a business day for our guys to really see some good pitching against one another.
All right, that's Dave Dombrowski.
Doesn't sound like someone who's excited to have a bye.
Well, listen, James, he expressed worry.
I know.
In the
you can hear it. The first thing he says is the disadvantage thing, and then he's like, oh, but, you know, this, that, and this. He does not sound psyched to have the bye.
Ruben, how much does it worry you that the team with the bye in the 3 years this playoff format has existed, the team with the bye has lost in this roundup ahead more than they've won?
Doesn't bother me at all.
Bothers me a lot.
Doesn't bother me one iota.
Really, though? Yeah. I mean, it bothers me a little. Like, it
not
doesn't mean they can't win,
bit.
But it.
Not even a little.
All right.
Why?
Because for what David said, I mean, basically, you can set yourself up and you can put yourself in positions now to simulate baseball games. It's very different. I mean, watch some guys, you know, that All-Star break, guys come back from the All-Star break and they kick ass. I mean, it doesn't really matter. It depends on the player. I just don't think it's that big of a deal. And especially for the Phillies, I think it was important for Turner, who is a huge piece of this team, to be 100% healthy, especially with his legs, because he is a difference maker when his legs are right.
Well, that does help. Let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day and all weigh in. Twitter poll brought to us by Armand Chevrolet. What's the Armand difference? It's simple. It's Armand's people, well-trained, friendly, and caring. Together, let's drive. Visit ArmandChevy.com. So let's say the Phils go Turner 1, which I think they will, Schwarber 2, which they probably will, Bryce 3, which I think they definitely will. Twitter poll question, who's 4? John, who should bat cleanup? Bader, Boehm, or JT?
I think maybe Boehm. I think Boehm's the one I trust the most.
Devin?
Bader.
Totally agree. Ruben?
Boehm.
James?
I'm between Bader and Boehm, ironically.
We're 2-2 right now.
I love Bader.
I was definitely going to say Bader, but I mean, Boehm's been really good since he's come back.
Boehm's it.
And I'll go dependable. Bader just because I've seen Boehm fail at that spot in the playoffs, but yeah. I do think it's going to be one of those guys.
3-2.
Let's give Boehm another chance.
I think Bader is way less of a head case than Alec Boehm. Like, wait, like we've seen Alec Boehm
no
get
doubt.
Visibly
totally agree.
Frustrated.
I love his head.
And get.
I love Bader's head. I think Bader's head is part of what makes this team, what gives this team a better chance this year than what
yeah,
it had last year.
I don't
year.
Think you're wrong.
His
yeah.
outlook,
I don't
his
think
outlook,
he'll let
they
the,
can look
a big
to him.
Moment affect him.
Yes, yes. He sort of insulates them against the big, you know, like sometimes guys don't want to make a mistake more than they, you know.
Listen, I'll give you a maybe on it, John, but I know this. When Boehm is up there, if he's struggling, I don't think there's any cheerleading Bader is really going to accomplish that gets Boehm.
Bader's been in the playoffs five times. He's never won a World Series. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like he is some magical like factor that just wins it for you.
Also, he's a career probably hasn't been on a team this good.
230 hitter in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I do know what you mean.
I mean, I love the guy, and he's doing great, but I'm just saying it's not some like we win because we have Bader.
I feel strange Bader about or Boehm at six. That's weird to me, though.
Bader or Boehm, Ray?
I don't trust Alec Boehm.
Yeah. I'm with
not in a second.
I'm with you. Ruben, one follow-up question, right back to the phones. Mm-hmm. Does Schwarber get a hand at four? If they go, and we know they don't like to hit Bryce too much because it doesn't sound like he likes to hit too much, but is there a scenario they go Turner one, Turner one.
Harper two.
Harper two. Bader three, Schwarber four to go righty-lefty.
So I have versus the left-handed pitcher starter, I have Turner, Harper, Boehm, Schwarber, JT, Bader, Casty, Sosa, Wilson. Against a right-hander, I got Turner, Schwarber, Harper, Boehm, Marsh, JT, Kepler, Bader, Stott.
Bader in the 8-hole.
I cannot do that.
That sounds crazy.
I cannot. I'm telling you. You're giving a lot to Marsh for his last couple months, and I get it, but I cannot have Brandon Marsh hitting cleanup in a playoff game. Can't do it.
I have him five.
Oh, I thought you said four. I'm sorry.
I have him five.
Okay. All right.
I have him five.
215-592-9494. We'll do some more with Ross on the Eagles. There's a lot happening here, including Rob Thompson's going to join us in about 10 minutes. Dan in Philadelphia right now. Hi, Dan.
I'll tell you who's a curmudgeon. Boehm. Like, as much. Like, I can't even imagine him batting there and then just like messing up and bringing the negativity energy into the stadium. But
listen, this is a massive October for him.
It is. It's a massive October for this whole team. I don't think this team is going to be together this year, but I mean, it's not going to look the same next year. So I think this is our biggest, best opportunity to do this.
I'll say this about Boehm, Dan. I think Boehm is the most, other than Casty, who's kind of in his own category now, I think Boehm is the most likely to be dumped if he and they struggle in October. Like, he'll still be under contract one more year, but they will look to do something different. And whereas last year, I think they were looking to get value back for Boehm, rightfully so, this time I could see it being like, we just got to move on sort of no matter what. I could see that scenario if he struggles.
I can too. I think Cassie's going to be gone, and obviously Marsh is going to be gone. But anyway, I hope this team, you know.
I don't know about that on Marsh.
Why would Marsh be going nowhere? Marsh isn't going anywhere.
He's going nowhere. He's under control. He's a few more years. He's locked in.
At a minimum, he remains a platoon player, and he could play his way into a regular player if he can sustain this.
And as for A.J. Brown today, Ross brought up a good point. I think the question has to be asked to him, and whether he answers or not, I don't know. Hopefully Ellie does, is exactly what is it that you want?
Good question.
You know, it's like Ross just said. He's gotten paid. He's won a Super Bowl. He's getting his throws to him. Like, what is it that he wants more out of this team? Because if he says it's, I want the offense to be better, well, then why are you doing these cryptic tweets about yourself, you know? So I think you have to be pressed on that. Like, what is it that exactly that you're trying to get out of this tweet? What is it exactly that you want, and how can you achieve it? You know,
I agree with you.
It is becoming pretty annoying.
I agree with all that. Dan, give me a great answer for a notable fictional curmudgeon.
Scrooge.
Oh, that's another big one.
Big.
Can it lose?
Right, is that almost
like the
unbeatable?
King of curmudgeons.
Can it lose?
I actually got one.
Can it lose?
I got one from a Christmas movie that could give it a run for its money. I'll just say that.
All right. You're holding back?
Yes.
But you're not supposed to hold back.
I think he might have been based on Scrooge. Maybe. Ross, how is AJ going to handle it today? I mean, this is one of those fascinating, we wait as Philadelphia sports fans to find out what the player or coach or general manager is going to say. What's he going to say today, Ross, if he meets with the media, which he may? How's he going to handle it?
I think he'll be intentionally vague, and I think he'll talk about, you know, it's the offense, and, you know, we can't be satisfied, and I don't know, man. I mean,
You're down on him.
I am down on, what do they always tell us? Like when you're calling a college game, I got Navy Air Force Saturday. Critique the play, not the player. I am down on his method, on his methods right now. I'm not necessarily down on A.J. Brown, but I don't think this is the right way to go about it. It's not how I guess, was brought up. I was brought up to be a lot more direct and talk to the people that you have an issue with. I don't know why he feels like he needs to go on social media. You know, I will say this. I keep reading all the beat writers, whether it's Elliot or Zach Berman, like talking about how media savvy he is. So I don't know. Maybe this is what he wants. Maybe this is like for marketing, and he wants us talking about him. He wants everybody talking about him and all the media to go interview him today. I mean, maybe this is part of the plan. Maybe it's more than just frustration. Maybe he wants the attention, and this is what his marketing guy told him to do.
I don't buy that.
Well, at this point,
he's
just
frustrated, and he's handling it in a bad way.
That's okay. That's a good way to describe it. You know what would be amazing? I mean, I would have so much respect for him if he said, you know what? I was frustrated because of a bunch of things that happened in that game. Thought I had a chance to help us more. Frustrated with how the offense played in the second half. Frustrated that I wasn't able to help us more. You know, I probably shouldn't have handled it that way. You know, that would be amazing. I don't think that's going to happen. But that would be amazing. I would, AJ, if you're listening, I would have so much respect if you just expressed your frustration. Listen, everybody knows that the offense stunk in the second half. Everybody on the team, every fan, everybody's frustrated by it. If you just say that, if you say you're frustrated by how bad we were in the second half and how I wasn't able to help us get out of that slump, I shouldn't have posted on social media. Man, that would be awesome.
Yeah, interesting. Russ, one more thing on the AJ thing. Based on the four games, not necessarily the last one, but the four games, is he not as good as he used to be?
Well, that's a very interesting question because two thoughts I have on this. Number one is, you know how he's so good at the slants or the in-breaking routes?
Yes.
If you've noticed, typically in other years, it feels like he either catches them clean and can run, or as he's catching it, the guy is like a step or a half a step behind him and is trying to wrap up AJ's legs. And sometimes he breaks through, sometimes he doesn't. What I've noticed this year is all of those, it feels like it's a contested catch at the catch point.
They're playing him differently. Yeah, but
I don't know if it's just playing him differently or if part of it is he's not as explosive. And what I want, and I'm sure we have the greatest listeners in the world. I know for us on the broadcast, the player GPS tracking data, we have access to that through the next gen stats. I want to know what's his fastest mile per hour this year, and I want to compare it to last year. I want to know what he's hitting when he...
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Running these routes, is he consistently hitting 18-19 miles an hour, or is it 17, 18. We have enough technology now where we should no longer be asking if we think a guy lost half a step or if maybe he's – we should know.
We can compute
Yes. Like, sure. Why do we have the tracking stuff on these guys if we're not going to use it? So somebody out there, look up A.J. Brown's miles per hour, please, this year and last year, and let's get to the bottom of it.
All right, Ross, good stuff. Again, we appreciate you cutting the time short as we move to Rob Thompson, but always great having you on the program, and obviously we'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much, Ross.
Well, it's no problem, but we'll see what I post over the next 30 minutes or so, and we'll see how I really feel about it.
You should take some shots at us, Ross. That would be,
as Alanis Morissette
would say,
ironic.
Passy-aggressy. Yeah.
All right, Ross, stay well, buddy. Thanks, man.
All right, see you guys.
All right, I love it. See all right, you, before we get to Rob Thompson, let's give you a chance to win tickets to the Eagles Broncos game on Friday. We give you a name now, and with that name on Friday, you can win the Eagles Broncos tickets.
Of course, courtesy of our great partner, NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
And the name is.
I mean, let's just do it. Terrell Owens.
All right, let's see what you're doing here. I sense a theme.
Shocking. I'm so shocked.
You know, let's just go there.
Yeah, you went there.
He's not quite all the way there, but, you know, he's showing some signs. So we gave you one name yesterday. We gave the name T.O. today.
No sit-ups, AJ, all right? No sit-ups, right. Okay?
Store those two names away and know the next two names we give you when we give them to you. Tomorrow at 8 o'clock, Friday at 8 o'clock, and with the four names, you can win the tickets to the Eagles-Broncos game. All right. Eagles Broncos on Sunday. Prior to that, the Phillies versus? Well, we're not sure yet, but it's going to be either the Dodgers, who last night took a 1-0 lead, or the Cincinnati Reds, who have to fight for their life tonight, today, versus the LA Dodgers, as the Reds are already in a 1-0 hole. What we do know is the Phillies will be in the second round. We know they've earned it with an outstanding regular season and the bye, and the skipper in his fourth season as the manager of the Phillies and getting ready for the fourth time for playoff baseball here in Philadelphia. Is Rob Thompson. Rob, good morning to you.
Good morning, everybody. There's a little chill in the air this morning.
Yes.
Love it.
That's what. Good. So Ruben's in here with us, and Ruben came in with his sweatshirt. He's all pumped up.
What's up, Skip?
That's great. How you doing, Rob?
I'm great. You?
Doing great, yeah. Yeah, we got a couple of days off here. It feels good.
So Rob, a ton to get to. Let me say this before we go any further. Congrats on a great regular season. I will tell you this. We fielded, and we're part at times, of, you know, some talk about, I don't know about this team. And listen, you guys landed with the second best record in the regular season. Congratulations to you and your squad on what you accomplished the last 6 months.
I appreciate it. You know, we've got good players, and we've got a lot of depth, and you got to give credit to our front office for applying that to us, and you know, when people went down, other people stepped up, and it was a really good regular season. But you know, greatness comes with championships, and that's what we're shooting for.
Sure. So, Rob, let's talk about the intra-squad game, which many thousands are going to be coming to South Philadelphia to watch today. You've got close to 30,000 seats already sold for this. I think it's a great idea. I had advocated going back to last year to play more than one game. So, you guys go with one this year. Last year was zero. Why one intra-squad game instead of zero? Why one instead of two or three? What's the mindset of why one, in your opinion, is the sweet spot to get you ready for the playoffs?
Well, we did play one last year.
Ooh, well, that would be
on the. It was on the. It was on the same day on the Wednesday. We just didn't have people. We didn't have fans in the ballpark. We tried to, but we. We got that idea a little bit late, so we couldn't get the workers in and EMTs and all the people that have to be in the ballpark for fans. So this year we got it together a little bit earlier so that the fans could be in. And I mean, it's unbelievable that we're going to have close to 30,000 people in there. It just tells you a lot about the city and about our fan base. And I think it'll help our players. It'll make it a little bit more realistic. As far as having only one, you have to use your pitchers. We do have a couple of pitchers coming from our stay hot camp, but we have to get our pitchers to see hitters. And on this day is the day really where, because you got to give them rest after the regular season, you got to give them rest just prior to the postseason. So on the Wednesday is really the perfect day for our relievers and a couple of our starters to throw. And we will have some extra batting practice tomorrow with certain guys that want to get extra at bat. So we're trying to satisfy everyone's needs going into the postseason, so we're ready to go.
Rob, this is your fourth postseason with this core group of guys. What's your message to your squad heading into this run?
Well, my message is always the same. It's, keep an even temperament. It's still a grind. If you get down early, don't panic. If you get up early, step on their throat. But I think the message, it's not really a message, it's a feel. I think that the core guys here are every year when we fall short, there's a lot more there that they want, and they want to finish this thing off. So there's certainly so much motivation in our core guys. I don't think you have to really throw a carrot out there because it's their form.
How do you prevent the bats from going cold when it matters most? Is the intra-squad game, is that going to be enough when it was not in the past?
Well, I hope so, and I think we're going to do a lot more of not that we didn't do a lot last year, but I think we're going to ramp up the velocity machines, ramp up the curveball machines, try to get as many reps as we can and make it as game-like as we can. Just to make sure that we do everything we can so that they can perform as best they can.
Rob Thompson with us here on WIP. A couple of days before the Phils playoffs start on Saturday. Rob, it's going to start with the ball in Christopher Sanchez's hand. Sold out Citizens Bank Park Saturday. It's going to be electric. Huge responsibility for him. Man, did he answer the bell this year. One of the best pitchers in baseball. I'm curious, when you told him, Chris, you're my guy. You're my game one starter. He had never been that before. What was his reaction?
Not much at all. I mean, he was obviously he's excited to pitch, but he's so mature now that I think he gets it. I think he gets that he's the ace. I mean, he is an ace. And it's unfortunate we don't have wheels, but
yeah.
Sanchez has stepped up, and he's just been himself, and he's gotten better and better as the season's gone on. And I have complete confidence in his ability to go out there, slow down the moment, contain his heartbeat, and just be Christopher Sanchez and just go out and pitch.
Rob, is it Ranger or Lizardo in game two?
Not sure yet. We've got the inter-squad game today, and Lizardo will pitch today. So he's still available for game two. Ranger got hit in the leg. He's still kind of a little bit sore from that last start, being hit with a line drive. But I think he'll be fine. So we're not really sure who's going to go game two or game three, really, because he could have a piggyback situation with Nola and one of the lefties. We've got a lot of things we're juggling right now, just depending on who we play.
So let's go a little further down the road, Rob. And I know you probably don't want to go too far, but let's just say this. You could advance, obviously, and then need a four-starter in the next round. Who that four-starter becomes could be impacted by the previous games and who you needed to use out of the bullpen. Is it your preference going in that Nola is your four-starter, or is it your preference that it's someone else?
Well, I mean, I can't say for sure, but my preference personally would be Nola, just because I know him. I know who he is. I know he's stepped up when the lights are brightest. He's a guy that his heartbeat never changes. And I just trust him. I really do.
How does having a set closer you can count on like Duran, how does that change the way you manage this postseason?
But yeah, I mean, I think it just moves everybody up an inning, and makes our bullpen a lot better. And now we can use Duran and a four-out save if we need to. it just makes us so much deeper with, you know, with Strom and with Robertson. Banks has pitched very well. Kirkring's last couple outings have been outstanding. It looks like he's confident and he's landing his pitches where he wants to. It just makes our bullpen that much deeper. And Duran's another guy where he doesn't sweat. He goes out and he's himself.
How is this team better prepared for the postseason than your previous Phillies teams?
Well, I think we're a little bit more experienced. I think guys, especially the younger guys that haven't had postseason experience before,
sure,
before they came to the big leagues, they understand what's expected, and they understand the gravity of the situation and how to slow it down a little bit. But I think we're deeper position player wise. The addition of Bader was huge for us. Getting Trey healthy was huge for us. The addition of Duran and David Robertson just made us that much deeper.
Rob Thompson here on WIP. So, Rob, you mentioned Bader. Let's talk about him in this lineup. So he really cranked it up more so after Trey got injured and was out. You really haven't had the really hot Bader and Trey together. Now that you will have those two at least in the same lineup, how do you fit them in as far as who bats where? Essentially, where does Bader hit now that Trey goes back to the leadoff spot?
Yeah, that's a good question because Trey will lead off. Now, Bader went through a really hot stretch. Now, the last couple of weeks, he's kind of cooled off a little bit. And Bohm's really swung the bat well. So that spot behind Harper is going to be a right-handed bat. Just not sure which one it's going to be yet. We're going to have some conversations in the next couple of days and see where we land. But Bohm's been really hot. And it's important to have some guys down at the bottom that can get on base to turn the lineup over to get to Turner and Schwarber and Harper. So, it's a good problem to have, to tell you the truth.
Sure.
Makes our lineup really deep if everybody's swinging back.
So, Rob, one of the frustrations for fans last year and criticisms of the squad over a couple years with playoff endings, the way it ended, was a lot of people thought the team was not properly prepared to play small ball, that if the homers weren't mm-hmm. happening, that there was a struggle to score runs, real struggle. Do you feel the team, based on the last 6 months and even what you did in spring training, is more prepared to go to small ball, if need be, if the bats aren't thundering with home runs?
Yeah, I do. Our sacrifice, they call them sacrifice hits in the stats, are essentially the sacrifice bunts, have almost doubled this year during the regular season as they were from last year. So we've done a lot more, and we've done a lot more practicing with the velocity machines, with the curveball machines. So I do think, we've done the work. Now, executing in a game is a little bit different than executing off a machine. So, we'll see. But I feel like the guys have put the work in for sure.
You know, Rob, one of the things we have sensed from afar for a couple of years is that Bryce is, I'll just say, uniquely motivated to win a title. All athletes want to, obviously. But Bryce sort of had that Tiger Woods thing going at a very young age where he was a focal point as a teenager. He obviously has had a historic career. It's going to land him in Cooperstown. Can you put into words, as someone who knows him really well, how driven you sense he is to try to do it and how prepared you feel he is? Because listen, 3 years in a row, he has excelled in October baseball, and what you sense could be on the horizon for him the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think he's as motivated as any athlete on the planet to win a championship. I know that, when he left Washington to come here, Washington wins a World Series right away. And there's, a lot of noise from other places that, they could win without Harper. And I think that type of thing motivates him. And I think he wants to win so badly. Here in Philadelphia, it's just I don't really know the word put to it, but I can tell you that he is really, really motivated.
Rob, it seemed to a lot of us that last year you were managing, for lack of a better word, I'll say more aggressively, that you were more apt to make a change earlier than you had been in previous Octobers. Bohm notably being sat, Stott was sat in some games. Did you feel you managed a little different last year in October? Look, it didn't manifest to a win. I didn't think it was your fault. The bats didn't hit and the relievers didn't pitch well and the team clunked out in four games. But do you feel as you enter this one that you want to manage in a similar fashion to last year, where it's maybe a little more aggressive and maybe a little bit less giving leeway to veterans?
I think it looked like I was super aggressive last year, and I guess I was because I hadn't done some things like that during the regular season. Now I think it's carried over into this season where you could say whatever you want, call it aggressive or whatever, but we've pinch hit a little bit more. We've matched up a little bit more. So I think that type of philosophy is sort of carried over, and you know, every manager evolves and changes and adapts, but I think, you know, we sort of played the season this year kind of the way we did in the postseason last year, and I think players are maybe a little bit more used to that type of aggression and expecting certain moves to be made. So I think, you know, to answer your question, sure, I think I was very aggressive last year during the postseason.
Rob, is Weston Wilson your final bench player from a position player standpoint?
Well, we haven't set the roster yet, so we're still waiting to see who we play. But that'll come out probably Friday. Or I'm not really sure which day we have to set the roster. It might be Friday, but we'll figure that out as time goes on.
A couple final minutes here with Rob Thompson as he gets ready for the playoffs starting on Saturday. So, Rob, I don't know if you know this. You know the town's excited. You know how the town turns up and turns out for Red October in Philly. The town has never had, in all these seasons, all the years of all the teams, has never had two titles in the same year. So as we close this interview down, I just want to say on behalf of me, our show, and our station, we wish you the absolute best of luck. We would love to see another parade. The Eagles obviously did it in February. We would love to see you guys do it. And it could be not only historic for your franchise, but for the entire city if two teams can win in the same calendar year. And we absolutely wish you, Rob, the very best of luck. I hope it's a fun and exhilarating month for you. And very, very good luck to you and your whole squad.
I really appreciate it. I appreciate you guys having me on. And I would really like to see four parades this year.
So that would be
well, let me tell you something, Rob. Yeah. Ruben knows this because Ruben was a young lad in 1980 when all four teams made the finals in the same year. And it just so happened.
It was a spectacular, spectacular year.
Yeah, Rob, it's the only time it's ever happened in the history of American sports. The Phillies were the only one to win. The Flyers lost in the finals. Sixers lost in the finals. Eagles, you count January of 1981, but a season essentially played in 80. But the Phillies, and look, Rob, we hope that you're right there with Dallas Green and Charlie Emanuel, you know, when all is said and done in a month, that we can say the three of you are the three skippers of a World Series winning squad. Rob, good luck to you Saturday and beyond. Thanks so much for being a huge part of the program today.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
You got
Thanks,
it. All right, man. There he is. Phillies manager, Rob.
A lot
Thompson.
Of info in that one, man.
Talk to
like,
me, James.
Well, I thought, obviously, the Nola stuff was strong. He beat dead. It wasn't a lot, but for him, like, he made it very clear that he wants Aaron Nola to be that fourth arm.
And let me just say one thing before you continue. The reason I phrased that question the way I did, you never know. So, first off, you don't know if the four starters game two of next round or game three. You just don't quite know. Game four, it depends on how long the round goes in the prior round. Here's what we also know. Who you use is often dependent. Did the prior game go to extra innings? Did I have to pull someone that, you know, and use someone for two or three innings I didn't expect to? That's why I asked it, is Nola your preference? So, James, to your point, I agree. I think it's pretty clear, barring some unforeseen, you know, quirky issue within a game, Nola will be the four starter.
Yeah, I thought that was fascinating. He confirmed it's going to be Trey, Schwarber, Harper. He confirmed it's going to be a right-handed bat there. I think it was pretty clear from the way he talked. If I had to bet money, I would bet that Alec Boehm's going to be in the cleanoff spot for the playoffs. That seemed not fully clear, but the way he's leaning
Bader's
there.
Bader's cooled off a little
bit. Yeah, Bader, we need guys down at the bottom of the lineup, too. That whole thing, you know, I thought that was fascinating. Talking about Rangers' injury, so open about what's going on there. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't believe how, like, I mean, it was like.
Used to it.
We had Nick on yesterday. It's like, I was texting with Elliot. I'm like, Nick would have answered none of these questions. None of them, you know?
Right, right. So, Devin, you were there yesterday when Dombrowski spoke.
Mm-hmm.
Not a ton from that. What'd you sense from what he put out there to the world?
No, I mean, I think Dombrowski, he did the same thing ahead of last NLDS, where, you know, he kind of meets everyone and answers the questions about, like, you know, where is Johan Rojas at and what's the deal with some of the minor league players, you know, gives some clarity to Andrew Painter, to Justin Crawford. So, like, I think at this point in time, media and fans' minds are just kind of focused on the NLDS and Red October. And it's kind of like, okay, we'll talk about Justin Crawford and the minor leagues and all, everything like that and the trade deadline, you know, after the season ends and we're reflecting. He didn't say anything that's too groundbreaking.
He did say one thing that's noteworthy. It has nothing to do with October, but he did say so far so good on the Wheeler front.
Yes,
you know, that they feel good about that. how the surgery went. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, it's very early in the process.
And Wheeler is supposed to be—he was supposed to be back in the facility like yesterday or today.
Okay,
so it's good just to have his presence around the team.
I think.
When he throws out the pitch for Game One of the World Series, place is going to melt. It's going to be amazing.
Emotional. Does he have to throw it with his left hand?
I thought about that. I don't know, but I think he would.
We have to kick it up there.
Whatever works.
Ruben. We have someone come out to throw it for him. Yeah. But he's just standing there,
like the dog running for Jody Cameron.
Just catch. Maybe he'll catch it.
Right. We could. Ruben, the players that are 25, 26 that make the back end of the roster, and 27, 28 that don't. While the Phillies haven't announced yet who those players are, do they know on Wednesday morning if they've made it or not?
They don't have to make the roster until, what, like 10 a.m. before the day of
I think he just said Friday.
I think it's Friday. I'm not 100%, but I think it's a day before.
But would Topper have already told? The Weston Wilsons of the world, does he know or not yet?
I don't think he knows yet.
Yeah.
I don't think he quite knows yet.
Being in the clubhouse yesterday, like, they changed out the nameplates, you know, for like on the lockers and like the Otto Kemps, the Weston Wilsons, like they're all still there. So if that changed, you know, from yesterday afternoon to this morning, I don't know. But I mean, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, there's decision. And you really don't know. I mean, the Dodgers went with 11 pitchers in this first series. How many pitchers do they go with in the five game series? I don't know. Right. How many do the Phillies go with? Do they go 11, 12, 13? A lot of it depends on who they play. And who they feel should be in the bullpen. Yeah. I think that's the most important part.
I just looked it up just to clarify. Ruben is correct. Technically, the rosters do not have to be out till the morning of the first playoff game.
Wow.
So October 4th.
They also need extra guys for the intra-squad game. Like when they were practicing yesterday, I turned to someone. I'm like, hey, who's that guy out there?
Sure.
He's like, they even had to bring up guys from Lehigh to fill it out.
They got Fritz out there pitching.
And
is that Jack Fritz?
Yeah. One other thing I thought was notable from what Rob Thompson said, it sounds like if one of the lefties gets in trouble, you know, maybe, he didn't say this, but I'll say, maybe barring getting out of a dirty inning when you bring a reliever in to do that, it sounds like he wants Nola to be the first, not Taiwan, not Walker Buehler. Yeah, he went to Nola for the piggyback. It sounds like, let's just say Christopher Sanchez on Saturday runs into trouble 2 2/3. Someone comes in to get that final out, and then maybe it could be Nola to begin the fourth inning and just try to, you know, take it for as many innings.
What if Suarez isn't able to pitch? I mean, he was pretty cryptic about that.
He was.
I think he's going to be fine, but if he can't pitch, Nola's going to be the third.
Probably, yeah.
Boy.
I hope the Rangers can give you two innings, but he can't go. Like, then it's a piggyback.
Dude,
with Ranger.
I remember when it was Game 5 of the World Series in 2003. It was like right before the game, and David Wells couldn't go.
Oh yeah, I remember. Of course,
it was a 2-2 series, and their starting pitcher couldn't pitch.
I remember
in 2009 we had Pedro Martinez had like a
unlike Ranger.
Pedro Martinez had like a 104-degree fever.
That's right, he was sick. I mean, he was sick.
But he wanted to start,
yeah.
So he started.
Well,
he said Lizardo starting in the intra-squad game today. Yeah. Did he say who else? Like, who's
no,
facing?
He didn't.
We didn't talk about it. We should have probably,
Hit
him with that.
But that would make sense for Monday. Like, game two, he would, if he pitches today, that would line up.
Here's another one. I don't want to critique everything we just did. I mean, look, we could have fired 5,000 more questions at him. But
did
I guess
a terrible job, Joe.
Horrible. I guess it would have been interesting to know, like, are your main nine hitters on the same team today, so you keep the batting order what it
I was thinking about
is,
that earlier, yeah.
Or are you mixing and matching all over the place? You know?
I don't mean, remember
you
what
plan to win 20 to
season.
Nothing or be up on these kids coming up to play?
All right, so there's a lot to react to based on what you just heard from Rob Thompson. Obviously, we'll swing it back to some Eagles conversation up ahead as well. Mike Quick joins us at 8:40. Phone calls, your chance to win John Legend tickets. A lot happening on 94 WIP.
BetMGM is inviting you to charge the field this pro football season. Existing BetMGM customers can have a ball without having to sweat. Log into your account to get a pro football no sweat token. Apply the token to your next pro football bet. If you lose with the token attached, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets. That's right. With a no sweat token, you get your stake back in bonus bets if you don't win. There's nothing like a fresh set of downs, even when it comes to betting. And that's just what BetMGM is offering if you don't win with a no-sweat token. So find your favorite matchup and be a part of all the hard-hitting, crowd-pleasing pro football action. Make this pro football season one for the ages. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.